that we love Jesus and we love others, and it makes our hands and feet move to be a blessing, to be Jesus to those around us. That's why there's a harvest crusade. That's why there's a food bank. That's why we have a food pantry. That's why we reach out with the love of Jesus. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25 once again this Sunday as we continue the message that we began last Sunday morning. This story, this parable that Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 14 and down through, verse 30. Matthew 25, beginning with verse 14. Again, Jesus said, "It will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. 'Master,' he said, 'you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.' The man with the 2 talents also came. 'Master,' he said, 'you entrusted me with 2 talents, and I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.' Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. 'Master,' he said, 'I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you.' His master replied, 'You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." What is the purpose of your life? What is the purpose of your life? Why did Jesus die for you? Why did He save you? Why did He forgive your sins? Why did He offer you the free gift of eternal life? Why did He give Himself for you? Why did He invest His life in you? It was for a purpose. For the purpose of living for Him, serving Him, doing His will, and bringing Him a return on His investment. Taking what He's given you and investing it into others. As we mentioned last week, when you make an investment, you expect to earn interest or to receive a return. Whether it be investing in stocks and bonds, mutual funds, a 401k, an IRA, a savings account, a CD, and again I mean certificate of deposit, not the thing that plays music. You invest your money with the purpose of earning interest, of getting a return on your investment. You buy gold or silver or real estate or collectibles, hoping that they go up in value. That you can sell something for more than you bought it for. And God does the same thing in us. Christ made an investment in you. And He expects a return on His investment. So again, today we're going to look at Jesus' parable of the talents. And the lesson, the teaching of this story is simply God's valuable investment in us. And that there's two important words or principles that are involved here in this story. And those words, those principles are that of faithfulness and fruitfulness. Faithfulness and fruitfulness. Last Sunday, we looked at faithfulness. And we'll begin with a brief review of that. But then we're going to look today at the second one, being fruitfulness. The question for each of us is, are you being faithful to God's trust? And are you being fruitful with what He's given you? And it's significant that as Jesus tells this parable, He clearly points out that faithfulness and fruitfulness are the criteria by which we will be judged in the end. It's all about earning return on God's investment, to reinvest into others what He has invested into us. It's all about living life with a purpose, being faithful and fruitful. So again, are you being a good investment? And that's the title of this message, A Good Investment, Part 2. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your presence among us, the power of Your Holy Spirit. Lord, I believe that You heard and answered prayer today. I believe that You touched folks today. I believe that You healed somebody today. Lord, we're honored and we're humbled and blessed to be in Your house in Your presence. Now as we turn to look into Your Word, we know that Your Word should always change us and challenge us to be more like Jesus and to more be the people that You've called us to be and to be closer to You. Lord, I pray that You will do that in our hearts and lives as we open up to You and we hear Your Word and we receive from Your Spirit today. Lord, one more time, I ask for Your anointing and Your empowering to be upon me as Your servant to preach Your Word to the very best of my ability to bless Your people. In Jesus' name, amen. So in the end, God will commend only those who have been faithful to Him and who have lived fruitful lives for Him. That God has invested a great deal in each of us, and He expects us to be faithful and to produce much fruit, to bring a return on the investment that He's made in us, that He's made in you. So as we continue looking at what Jesus is saying here to us in this story, what are we to learn from it? Last week we said, first of all, God invests in each one of us. God has invested in each one of us, and that means you. It's the essence of the parable where the master, before he left, he gave or he entrusted his property to each one of his servants. To one he gave 5 talents. I put 4 fingers up there and went 5. 5 talents of money to each, to one of his servants, 2 to another, and 1 to the last. So he gave some of his money, some of his property to each of his servant. And then obviously, not to hold on to it or just to keep that for themselves, but he gave it for a purpose. To invest that money and to put it to work. The exact amount that the servants received wasn't important, but what was important was what they did with what they were given. And so it is with us, that like these servants, we also are stewards of God's property, that He gives to us great and valuable gifts. And it's up to us what we're going to do with it. What He invests into us, my friends, is always for a purpose. To do something with it, to turn it around, and to use it in His service to be a blessing. I asked this last week. I think it's worth asking again. How many of you know that you've been blessed? You're blessed. Well, then you're ready to invest. If you've been blessed, you're ready to invest. Because God's given something to you. He's put something into your life. He's blessed you and invested in you. So you're ready to turn it around and be a blessing. If you've been blessed, you're ready to invest. And we see that God's investment in us can take on many forms. And I like to call them resources. That God has given each one of us resources to serve Him. To invest into the church, to invest into people, whether they be spiritual gifts, areas of ministry, wisdom, years of experience, knowledge of God's Word, the ability to offer somebody help and encouragement, to give life. To give life. To speak life. He blesses us with finances, to bless the church and the ministries and the programs of the church. And I mentioned last week that when you give in the missions offering, when you donate to the food pantry, when you help a teen to youth retreat, when you invite somebody to church, you're investing. You're making an eternal investment. Our time, our talents, our abilities, things that you can do in the church, in the community, to make it better. Do you know that you, turn to the person next to you and say, he's talking to you. Do you know that you can make your church better? Did you get that? You can make your church better. By how you serve. By how you are a blessing. How you reinvest what God has given you into the church and into the lives of others. Every Christian, somebody say every Christian. Every Christian has an investment of God's resources. And we note that the master didn't give the servants all the same amount. The important thing was not how much they got, but how much they earned to give back to the master. The exact resources may be different for each of us. According to God's choosing. The point is not what we have or how much we have, but what we do with what we have. How we use His gifts, that we do something to give back to God. The truth is that God will hold each of us responsible. He will hold each of us responsible for what He's given, what He's invested into our lives. Then we were talking about faithfulness. That God expects us to be faithful with His trust. In the parable, all three servants are given property by the master entrusted into their care. They were not only to watch over what they were given, but to invest it. Only two fulfilled the master's request, his purpose, and brought him a return. They were praised as being faithful. Those are the kinds of servants that God is looking for. That as the master said to the one who had five and he returned five more, the one who had two and returned two more, he said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Those are the kind of servants that God is looking for. that he can commend as well done. You fulfilled my purpose for you, for your life. You've been faithful with what I gave you. God is always looking for people who will be faithful. People who can be counted on, who are fully committed, who keep their promises, who are true to their word, to God, to the church, to people who are dependable and consistent, that keep the commitments that they've made, that always do what they say they're going to do. People who follow through. That's the kind of people that God is looking for. The faithful servant is always looking for an opportunity to use their God-given resources to bless others. They're always looking for ways to invest into God's kingdom, to invest their life into the life of somebody else. And it's the faithful servants who are the only ones who will hear God say, "Well done, come on in." Let's go to the next step. Not only does God want us to be faithful to His trust, God also expects us to be fruitful for Him. To be fruitful for Him. You see, God expects to see results. He expects to see results in our lives. He wants to see fruit. How many of you have any fruit trees? Not too many up around here. I know when you get towards the Inland Empire and some other areas, you see a lot of fruit trees. Especially the citrus variety. The grapefruit and the lemons and the limes and the oranges and the tangerines. But when you plant a fruit tree, what do you expect it to do? Produce fruit. If you have an orange tree, you expect at some point to come out and see oranges on that tree. You water that tree. You care for it. You prune it. I don't know, some folks maybe even talk to it. But if it doesn't bear fruit, what good is it? What good is it? In the same way, every Christian should be producing fruit for Christ in their life. Are you? The Bible places a high value on producing fruit. In Matthew 7, verses 17 through 20, Jesus said that every good tree bears good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And then he says, "Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them." In Luke 3:8, he adds this, "Produce fruit in keeping with repentance." You see, it's God's will for every believer that we bear good fruit in our lives for Him. The true Christian will produce fruit. And conversely, the Christian that isn't producing fruit really isn't worth very much. What kind of fruit are you producing in your life? In John chapter 15, Jesus talks a lot about fruit. In verse 8 of that chapter, He says, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves or proving yourselves to be my disciples." It's to the Father's glory, He said, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. You see, fruit in our lives is how we're recognized. It's how we demonstrate that we belong to Christ. How we show that we're following Jesus. You know, somebody can say, "Yes, I belong to Jesus. Yes, I'm following Jesus." But there has to be fruit. There has to be a reality. There has to be a change. There has to be a demonstration. There has to be fruit that is evident. If there's no fruit, then is there really a change? do we really belong to Jesus? Are we really following Christ? And the fruit in our life brings glory to God. How many want to glorify God with your life? We do so by producing fruit in our life that people can see that's evident. He goes on in John 15, 16, and he said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you to what? Go and bear fruit, and fruit that will last." Not only that it will be consistently produced in our lives, but it will last into eternity. Only what you do for Jesus will survive the test of time and last into eternity. Only fruit produced for Christ will outlast this life. The bottom line is this, my friends. Producing fruit is the reason that Christ saved you. It's the reason He saved you. To be different and to make an eternal difference with your life. We're going to come back to John 15 in a little bit. But right now I want to take a look for a moment at what Paul said in Romans chapter 7 and verse 4. Romans chapter 7 and verse 4, Paul says this, "So my brothers, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to Him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit to God." We're saved. We might belong to another who was raised from the dead. Why? In order that we might bear fruit to God. You belong to Christ now. If you're a Christian, if you're saved, if you're a believer, you belong to Christ now to serve Him, to live for Him. And He has given you, think of this, He has given you of His Spirit. You have the indwelling Holy Spirit. If I didn't know better, I'd run around the stage right now. That's exciting. It's a Pentecostal church. I ought to be allowed to do that, right? Take off. I got it. There you go. He has given you of His Spirit and His resurrection power that dwells in you. Why? To use it. To do something with it. And all that He has done for you, all that He has given you, is for a purpose, to bear fruit in your life. You see, the point is this, that faithfulness is proven by our fruit. Faithfulness, we can say that we're faithful. We can even act kind of faithful. But it's got to lead to fruit. If we're truly faithful to God, we will seek to produce fruit in our lives. Did you know that you can appear to be faithful to God without producing fruit? Did you catch that? You can appear to be faithful to God without producing fruit. It's true. You know, there's some folks who are faithful, even faithful to church, or to pray, or to read the Bible, but there's no fruit in their lives. What Jesus is teaching in the parable here in Matthew 25 clearly illustrates what God is really looking for in us. The two are commended for doing something, for gaining more, while the third was condemned for doing nothing, for just burying his part, for gaining nothing. In a way, the guy was kind of faithful. He took the one talent he was given, he buried it, and when the master came back, he dug it back up and he gave it back. He had it. He was kind of faithful. It appeared faithful. Just like there's people today, even in church, that appear faithful, but they're really not producing any fruit. There's no return on God's investment. And what did Jesus say to that guy? What did He say to the guy? His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I had not sown and gather where I had not scattered seed? Well, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. You should have done something with it. Not just look the part." What did he do? He played it safe. How many people, yes, in church, just play it safe? I'm glad Jesus didn't play it safe for me. I'm glad that He gave up everything, He risked everything, and He came down here to give His life as a ransom for many and be the Savior of my soul and yours. Jesus didn't play it safe. This guy played it safe. He risked nothing. He tried nothing. He did nothing. And hence, he accomplished nothing. You know that too many Christians today just play it safe. They take their salvation and they wrap it up real neat and tidy and they dig a hole and they bury it and cover it over so that they can get to heaven when the trumpet sounds. Glory to God. I just want to be saved. No, God has more, and He expects more. Too many Christians play it safe. Their goal is just to hold on and to make it to heaven somehow. Did you ever run into somebody? You say, "How you doing, brother? How you doing, sister?" "Well, I'm hanging in there, bless Jesus." They don't reach out. They don't step out. They don't risk anything for God. They don't trust God for more, what He can really do through them. They don't trust Him to do something great, something life-changing with what they've been given. You see, if you're truly faithful to God, you will seek to accomplish as much as possible with the resources that you've been given. Thank you for that one amen. God wants you to be fruitful. How many heard of Rick Warren? Pastor Rick Warren. Many of you have. Author of that famous book, A Purpose-Driven Life. Here's what Pastor Rick Warren says, and I quote, "Christ doesn't expect us to produce more than we can, but He does expect us to produce all we can by His power within us." I'm going to say it again. Christ doesn't expect us to produce more than we can, but He does expect us to produce all we can by His power within us. And then He continues and He says this, "And that is a lot more." Somebody say more. "That is a lot more than most of us think is possible. We expect too little from God, and we attempt too little for Him." Unquote. Isn't that good? Now, I was thinking about what Pastor Rick said, and it leads me to two important points. Number one, that many of us live far below our God-given fruit-producing potential. Now, I know that it's a mouthful, so I got to say it again. Many of us live far below our God-given fruit-producing potential. Why? Well, maybe because we underestimate God. Maybe we don't realize what God can really do. We underestimate His power and what He's placed within us. Or maybe we underestimate ourselves. We don't realize who we really are in Him. I don't know about you, but I'm a child of the King. I'm a Spirit-filled believer in Jesus Christ. We underestimate ourselves, not realizing who we are in Him and what we can do for Him with His power within us. Because there's no limit to what God can do in and through you. If you're available, if you're willing, if you're obedient, if you're committed, if you really care, and if you have a heart to do something. And then I also thought this. You know, the Bible tells us clearly that we can only produce fruit for God by the power of God. We can only produce fruit for God by the power of God. And that leads me to this point. Producing fruit is a work of the Holy Spirit. Producing fruit is a work of the Holy Spirit. You see, friend, you, on your own, you cannot be fruitful for Christ without the Holy Spirit doing His work in you. Paul talks about fruit in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit, and some of you have this memorized. I know my grandson has it memorized. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But notice that he doesn't say your fruit. He said it's the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. He not only tells us the kind of fruit that should be produced and evident in our lives, but He also tells us where the fruit comes from. From the Holy Spirit. And look at the context. Look at some of the verses around what we read in verses 22 and 23. Look at verse 16. Paul says, so I say, live by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Verse 18. He says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. So he says, live by the Spirit. He says, be led by the Spirit. In verse 25, he says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit again. And keep in step with the Spirit. It's all about the Holy Spirit producing fruit in our lives. The key to producing fruit is being connected to Christ. The key to producing fruit is being connected to Christ. You might wonder why I had this fan sitting here. It wasn't for me to keep cool. But I got this fan out of the office, and this is a nice fan. It's a working, operating fan. You notice how well it's working right now. Any of you feel the cool breezes from it? You hear the hum of the motor? No, it's not doing anything. I assure you, this is a working fan. You see it? Is it working? No. Oh, look at that. There's a power outlet. Isn't that nice? Stu, is there electricity flowing through that outlet? Yeah, there's power. There's electricity in that outlet. That's nice. I like that. I'm going to stand here and admire that outlet for a minute. Thank you very much. The guy loves me. This fan is not going to do anything. And that power outlet isn't worth much. And I even have a wire here. What's flowing through it? Nothing. Until I plug it in. If I can see it. And then, aha! Now it's working. Now it's doing something. The fan by itself could not do anything. The electricity in the plug wasn't accomplishing anything until I made a connection and I plugged in to the source of power. The same thing is true with you and me. In order to produce fruit in our lives, we have to be connected. We have to be plugged into the source, which is Jesus Christ, and allow the power of the Holy Spirit to flow in us and to flow through us to do what God has called us to do. The key is the connection. Our connection to Jesus Christ. And so we go back to John chapter 15, where Jesus explains this clearly. John 15, verses 4 through 6. He says, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine," he said. "You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he" what? Will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do, real loud, nothing. If you remain in me and I remain in you, he said, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Fruit is produced through our relationship with Christ. You don't have the power or the ability to produce it on your own. Christ is the source of our fruit. And that word that Jesus uses it, remain, in the Greek is meno, which means to live or to abide or to dwell. We have to live like we live in our house. We have to live in Christ and in His Word in order to bear fruit. We have to be in right relationship with Him. If we remain in Christ, attached to the vine, we will bear much fruit. Because fruit is produced by the Spirit of God within us, flowing through us. But apart from that, we can do nothing. I think the reason that some Christians are not fruitful, they're not serving, they're not bringing a return on God's investment, is there's a break in the connection. There's a hindrance in the relationship. The Holy Spirit is not being allowed to completely flow through them. Or they're trying to produce fruit. They're trying to live for Christ on their own, in their own strength, and it doesn't work. We need to follow Jesus, to be His disciples, to be connected to Him, to be in right relationship with Him, and to allow His life and His power to flow through us. I want to give you something, and I want to ask a couple ushers to come up and help me. I want to give you something today. Guys, if you would hand these out to everybody that's here. These are hot off the press. These were just printed up for us this week. You can hand those out. Should be some left over. Thank you, gentlemen. How many of you here are a disciple of Jesus? You're a follower of Jesus Christ. Well, then you won't mind if I give you a discipleship challenge. A discipleship challenge. This is for you to take home and to make a part of your life. Put it on your refrigerator. Put it in your Bible. Pull it out every day when you pray, when you read your Bible. Will you make this commitment with me to Jesus from Colossians 1:10 so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, Colossians 1:10. Every day, as a disciple of Christ, every day I commit to pray. I commit to read the Bible. I commit to grow as a believer. I commit to do an act of compassion, to be a blessing. And I commit to pray for my church and leaders. The discipleship challenge. How many will take this challenge? Take this challenge with me. The discipleship challenge. Because it fulfills our mission on the other side to know God, to grow in Christ, and to show Him to the world. And I'll close with this. The parable commends those who are faithful and fruitful, but it condemns those who are not. When you live your life for Christ, to be a blessing, you will be blessed. We're called to be disciples, to follow, to grow, to change, to serve, to be faithful, to produce fruit. Take the resources that God has given you and bring Him a return on His investment to produce all that you can for His glory. Take whatever you have been given, great or small, be faithful, produce fruit with it, and great will be your reward in the kingdom of God. So which of the servants in this story are you like? They were all entrusted with the master's property. They were all expected to earn a return on his investment, and so are you. They were all given resources to invest, to do something with, to give back to the master, and so are you. What are you doing with what God has given you? Are you being faithful? Can God count on you? Are you true to your word and the commitments that you've made? Are you a faithful servant to the church, to God, to His people? Are you looking to invest? You've been given so much, so you have much to give. Are you being fruitful? Are you connected to Christ? Are you living in right relationship with Him? Are you a branch attached to the vine? Can others see the fruit of the Spirit in your life? Can they see Jesus in you? Can they see that you belong to Him by the life that you live? The true Christian makes a difference. They take God's investment in them and they reinvest it into the life of someone else. They use their God-given resources to make an eternal investment in the kingdom of God. As God's looking for people who want to serve Him, want to serve His people, the church, to make it better. Remember, only what you do for Christ, only what you invest into the lives of others will last forever and bring you a well done, good, and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. As we close this message and service, can we all bow our heads just for a second? Let's shut ourselves in with God just for a minute. You know, you don't even need to raise your hand in response to this. This is between you and God. But I want to just ask you to consider a couple things before you leave. Do you need to get closer to God? Where are you? Where are you with Christ right now? Are you in right relationship with Him? Are you a branch attached to the vine of Christ Jesus? Are you living in Him? Are you letting the Holy Spirit flow through you to produce fruit in your life? Can others see Jesus in you by the fruit that's being produced in your life? Are you connected? Are you connected to Christ today? And then lastly, have you found your purpose? Have you found your place? Have you found that place of faithfulness and commitment? Are you offering God a return on the investment He's made in you? Are you a tree producing fruit for Christ that will last? Stu's going to put on a song. As he does so, as you have considered those questions that I have asked, as you consider your answers to those questions, maybe you're not where you need to be today. Maybe you need to get closer to God today. Maybe you need to yield to the Holy Spirit and let His Spirit flow through you. Maybe you need to reconnect to Jesus today. Stu, go ahead and put on a song. I want to invite you to come and find a place of prayer. You're not coming to me. You're not coming to the church. You're coming to Jesus. Don't leave this place with anything between you and God, any hindrance, any break in that connection. Be fully attached to Jesus in fellowship with Him, in right relationship with God. The altars are open. I invite you to come. Find a place of prayer. We're going to sing this song. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
To hear you say that I'm a friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. 'Cause nothing else can take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace, help me find a way, bring me back to you. You're all I want.
longer, please feel free to do so. The altars are open. If you'd like to come and pray, if you need to leave, please consider yourselves dismissed. God bless you. Have a wonderful day in the Lord.